still brand new, smart and shining and almost unbelievably virginal. We watched them come with jaded eyes. No comments had been passed, and none were necessary. The approaching troops spoke for themselves. It was obvious to us that we could have nothing in common. We were soldiers, while they were only dilettantes. It showed in the careful way they carried their equipment. It showed in their stiff and shining boots, so beautifully polished and so utterly useless. No one could march very far in boots of such uncompromising newness. They had yet to be rubbed with their baptismal urine, which was the best treatment we knew for softening up and at the same time preserving the leather. Take Porter's boots for an ideal example of a soldier's footwear, so supple that you could see every movement of his toes inside them. And if they gave off an almost overpowering stench of urine, that seemed a small price to pay for comfort. "You stink like 1,000 piss houses," Porter was once told rather sharply during the course of a parade. That was our colonel, sometimes irreverently known as Walleye, on account of the black patch he wore over one empty socket. It seemed to me significant that, in spite of his testy observation on the subject of urine, he never put a stop to our habit of pissing on our boots. He'd been in the army long enough to know that it's the feet that make the soldier. You got bad feet, and you're worse than useless. Tiny, still watching the arrival of the reserve force, suddenly nudged the legionnaire in the ribs. "Where'd you reckon they dug that lot up from? Jesus Christ, it's enough to make a cat laugh. The Ruskies will mop them up before they've even found out what they're supposed to be doing here." He nodded importantly at the legionnaire. "If it weren't for all people like you and me, mate, oh, we'd have lost this perishing war years ago." The old man laughed. He was trying to shelter from the pouring rain beneath a rather pathetic bush. "High time they gave you the Knight's Cross, a hero like you." Tiny turned and spat. "Knight's Cross. You know where they can stick that, don't you? Right up their bleeding asses. I wouldn't give you tuppence for it." There were sounds of cries and curses from the officer at the front of the approaching column. One of the privates, a little frail creature who looked older than God, had lost his tin helmet. It had rolled to the side of the road with a noise like 100 tin cans collapsing, and the old chap had instinctively scrambled off the truck and gone toddling after it.
"Get back into line!" roared an Oberfeldwebel outraged. "What the bleeding hell do you think you're bleeding playing at?"
The old boy hesitated, looking from his precious helmet to the apoplectic Oberfeldwebel. He scuttled back into the ranks and marched on, and the Oberfeldwebel nodded grimly and remained where he was, blowing his whistle and every so often shouting his lungs out, intent on hustling these raw amateurs on their way to certain death. As I watched the column advancing, I could see that the little old man was already near to breaking point, both physically and mentally, I guessed. The loss of his tin helmet had probably been the final straw. Lieutenant Olsen, our company commander, was standing to one side chatting to his counterpart, the lieutenant who had led the reserve troops up here. Neither of them had noticed the incident. Neither of them had noticed that one of their men was on the point of cracking. And even if they did, what could they do about it? At this stage of the war, it was a commonplace occurrence. The old chap suddenly fell to his knees, began crawling down the hill on all fours. His fellow soldiers looked at him nervously. The Oberfeldwebel came running up, bellowing,
"Stand up, that man there! What do you think this is, a bleeding tea party?"
But the old man never moved, just lay on the ground, sobbing fit to break your heart. He wouldn't have moved if he'd been threatened with a court-martial. He couldn't have. He didn't have the strength left, and he didn't have the will anymore, either. The Oberfeldwebel walked up to him, stood over him, chewing at his lower lip.
"All right, all right. If that's the way you want to play it, I'll go along with you. You've got to learn a thing or two, I can see that. You think you're exhausted, eh? Well, just you wait till you've got a load of screaming Ruskies coming at you. You'll move fast enough."
He suddenly stepped back and rapped out an order.
"Pick up that spade and get digging, at the double, if you don't want to get mown down."
Obediently, the little old chap groped for his spade, which had fallen from his pack. He began trying to dig. It was...